The next person to address you will be Mrs. Eunita Blackwell, who is a community organizer and coordinator of programs throughout the state of Mississippi for the National Council of Negro Women, with whom she has been working for 3 years. She served as a consultant on the needs and aspirations of the poor with the Ford Foundation, the Mississippi Research and Development Center, the Delta Ministry, and many other groups. Mrs. Blackwell took an active role in the struggle for civil rights in 1963-64. She proved to be one of the most articulate spokesmen on the impact of hunger and malnutrition, of poverty and wretched housing on the lives of the rural poor. Her ability was a major force in making possible the participation of the poor in decision-making. You will be interested to know that Eunita participated with United Presbyterian Women in Operation Listen in Mississippi. Let us give close attention to what these important women have to say to us.
I am Eunita Blackwell from Issaquena County in Mississippi. Issaquena is spelled I-S-S-A-Q-U-E-N-A. We are the top of something because we are in the top 10 of the poorest county in the United States. When I come to this great meeting and see all of the ladies, I think about how I got started in my life doing whatever I could. I hope that I can give you a feel of what I've been through and what others are going through in the state of Mississippi. In 1963 and 64, in came a great deal of people, maybe your children, you, and others, came in and said, there come those freedom folks, and you have a right to vote. And we went out, and, you know, I said, well, I guess I'll try to get in that, because I'm tired of doing nothing. I had to make a decision. Either get killed doing nothing or get killed doing something. And, you know, if you're going to live, you know, you really have to be about something. That's living. That's the way I feel about it. And they said that we had a right to vote, and all of these things would come out of voting. You know, that we could get rid of the board of supervisors and the people who keep us from eating and decent housing and all these kinds of things. So we started off. And we went out there. We didn't know exactly what we was going out into, because we found out it wasn't exactly the way it looked. It was exciting and beautiful, you know. But it turned out to be very sad. People were killed. People were beaten. I was arrested every day for 30 days. And you want to know about what? Backing out of where I live, or either turning the car around, coming out from where I live, because we were getting people registered to vote. And the police would be there. And I had to write my own ticket because he couldn't read and write. And he would charge $12, you know, every day. And I said, what is this for? He said, you didn't have your lights on. I said, it's daytime, you know. He says, don't make any difference. I'm the law, and so you're supposed to turn on your lights. So $12, write down $12. I write down $12. Then we go to the Justice of the Peace. Well, I saw the need for a change, you know. I really did. And out of that, you know, we came up with The Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, out of that came, we went to the Atlantic City, New Jersey to unseat the delegation. We didn't succeed, but a lot of things happened. A lot of learning process came out of that. People came back. They worked hard. Then we end up, you know, people running for office. I had to run for the Justice of Peace. Really, because, well, I was running around getting people to run for offices and everything, and then that was left to Justice of Peace. And they looked at me and says, well, you know, much as you've been through, what do you think you ought to run for? I said, Justice of Peace. And I lost by 6 votes with the white folks counting them. So, you know, we came out of that with some more education, that when you go down to the polls to vote, the same man is down there that you live in his house, and the same man that you get your, you know, the jobs, his brother-in-law, cousins. Then out of that you find that the same man's or his wife is there on the polls. And the mentality that has been that white folks always knew everything anyway, and they just knew, the black people just knew, and I thought they had great courage to go out and vote after we got people registered, because their whole life was at stake, their livelihood, and I mean literally their lives, including, you know, material things. So, I like to go, you know, into what we found out from that. We had to move to the next point. Then we had a big meeting, and that was the Delta Ministry and all Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, and just great numbers of people, and all of us got together and said that we had a right to pass out leaflets and what have you. 1,100 of us went to jail. We stayed there 11 days. It was the ladies who, some of you all from your organizations, that kept the eye open to the world what was happening in the state of Mississippi. And out of that, we decided that we need land. We need to demonstrate the need for land, the need for housing, the need for food, for clothing. We went to the Greenville Air Force Base in Greenville, Mississippi. Some of you all might remember it. And they say we took it over. We did. We was trying to find out what was fell and what was non-fell. We didn't know. We know that the Lord was with us. The building that we did take over happened to be on fell land. And we went in and said we was going to stay there because that was $1 million. We call it the HELP program. That was allotted for the state of Mississippi. And it was to go like it had always been going to folks who was in offices, was not concerned about the needed and the hunger. And we said we're going to stay there until we get some food to our people. We need some decent housing. And all these kinds of things. Out of that, they threw us out. They was trying to figure out who threw you out. Now that's when it gets down to technicalities. First, the Greenville police came. They found out that they didn't want to be bothered with it because it'd be better because, well, it's federal land. So they call in the FBI. By the way, do you all know what a gunny sack is? Let me tell you what happened to me. We were getting families to sign complaints, organizing for the desegregation of the school. And we had got our children in 1965. And they came that night and they burned crosses in my yard and others' that was working on it and had children, families who had children in the school. And here's this cross, 10 feet tall. Well, they set the cross afire and took off. And the man said, well, I gets on the phone, calls the sheriff. Well, I'm not too sure where he was. He might have been in the truck. I calls him and he's, I run about 3 blocks. His deputy is from down the road from us. And he didn't show up. So I calls the FBI. That's where you had to do. You had to call the sheriff and then you had to call the FBI so that the FBI could tell the sheriff that, you know, he knew. So what happened is that the FBI says to me, well, did you see the truck? Says, no, I was too busy, you know, trying to get out of the way. Because when they come along and burn the cross, the next thing they do is shoot. And he says, well, I'll tell you what you do. You go out and you preserve the cross. I said, how do you do that? And he says, get a gunny sack. And then he gave me a description of a gunny sack. That you wrap, you know, the cross in. This is law and order, you know, telling you how to go about it. So I just want to say that I'm coming back to Greenville. That there we were in the place and nobody knew what to do with us. So the Greenville police got rid of us. The next thing was that they said they couldn't do anything. They sent in the FBI. The FBI said that they don't think that they could do anything about it. They sent it to the Justice Department. Well, I didn't know that the two was different. You know, we learning. And so they was back and forth, and they says, why? And the television was there and said, why didn't you all tell us you was going to do this? You know. You know, that's one of the things that happens every time we get ready to do something. You know, we have to make sure that everybody knows. And so they was upset because they didn't know anything about it. And if they had had the plans, they could have figured out the best way to remove us without less violence. They didn't want any violence. Well, they finally brought in the army. And they brought them in helicopters, paid all kinds of money and stuff to bring it in to remove us. So I told stories about the time when I was at the White House conference and so forth, but we kept ourselves moving. It was 6 below 0 that morning in the state of Mississippi. And it was really something to see the people, because they didn't have anything. And the man came up and says, you know, y'all need to get out of here. Somebody done broke out a window. Out goes a stovepipe, by the way, because the folks went to bring it in there. Stuff and moving in. And he says, it's cold out there. The man says, where I live, it snows in my house where I just left. It rains. And you go, this is the best place I ever been in my life, and I'm not leaving. Out of that came, I'm talking about how things gets moving. And how you get on something and you know, you just keep moving with it because it gets to be a feeling that you got to do something. Whatever you can do, you have to do that. So out of that, I came to Washington and Ford Foundation asked me would I work on, you know, talking about the needs and these kinds of things. And I'm telling you in those Washington offices, Lord have mercy. That is really something. I thought in Mississippi was bad enough, but when you come up there and try to get a program out of Washington, D.C., you have to be a secretary with a 2x4. That's for sure. Out of that came program. We finally got some things. But where the push comes from is I met all during these times, you get so lonely and discouraged, and people get that way. They fight and look like nothing comes out of it. But I met women like yourselves and others that somehow you look around, somebody was always there to help. And I think that's important. And if we're talking about love and hate, maybe I can't go into it the same kind of way, but I hate the way that we have been treated. And I love the way that I still can have hope and faith in people. And it's just, you know, it's wonderful. I like to also talk about Operation Listen. It came to Mississippi. Out of that came Okolona, the help that you all gave, Okolona Center. And I'll have you to know it's the only integrated daycare center in the state of Mississippi. It's 50-50. That's it. And I also like for you to see some of the things that is going on also, and we can talk about it later, of ladies trying to learn how to help themselves in Sunflower County, Mississippi, Senator Eastland's home. They are doing the factory, which you all has hope. People always want to know, what can they do? It's many ways to do. First, think. What are you? What are you going to do about the situation? You cannot just live in the world and not do nothing. You know, I'm a mother, and I listened to Mia talk about that lady's children. My son always, you know, he wants to know, Mother, what can I do to help? Because I teach him that this is the way that we have to do something, and you have to do something. And your task right now is to learn to go to school. And I don't want to come in worried about you not learning. And so that's what you do. And you do other things. You listen. You learn to listen. And out of this, you know, to see the love that the people have for their work in Sunflower County, in other places that we are working in, the National Council of Negro Women, the United Presbyterian Women, all women, legal women voters, you know, it's just wonderful to be hooked up to so many women. You know, because at one time you felt you were just standing out there by yourself. And then when you find yourself even in organization-wise, friend to friend, neighbor to neighbor, it belongs to something. Some kind of group, sororities and so forth. I can't even say some of the sororities, you know. Phi Kappa Qs and, you know, then. It's, you know, and you just meet people from all walks of life that needs to turn their lives into being, you know, knowing that people care about one another. And a lot of this, the work that's being done, you can be and is a part of it. I also like to say that we also kept moving. We found out that we had to tie together organizations. We had to work whatever what organization that was moving. Some that was not moving, we moved them. I found myself, you know, you talk about love and hate. In Gulfport, Mississippi, I also worked on housing. And I met a man named Mr. Collins. Now, I don't want him to know I said this. But Mr. Collins was a former member of the White Citizen Council. Those are the people who shoot you in the front, not in the back. And he and I met around housing, because he was the builder. But this man's whole attitude changed as we talked to one another. This is the first time he ever talked to a black person, really talked. Because he started off, he just had to face me and talk. We was talking about business. And his money was involved. So, you know, but we got to be friends. We really did. And we started off with, he tells me, he says, well, we was going down the road. We're going to look at the land. And he says, well, Miss Blackwell. I says, yes, we both scared of one another. He says, well, I tell you what, now you take that school right over there. Now, we have some black children in there, Negroes. I said, that either one is fine, you know. You know. And he says, well, we have some over there, and you and I can get along. You see, we understand one another. We both from the same state, and we understand, and them northern folks ain't got no business telling us about what we should do and so on. I said, I agree with you 100%. But, and he says, what is that but? I said, well, you know, the only way we got together is because them northern folks put us together. And he says, well, that is interesting. But... So we had a conversation on our way to Moss Point, Mississippi, to look at the land. And, you know, we got more and more relaxed as we went down the road. And he says, well, guess what, Miss Blackwell? Do you know that folks calls me a white citizen council? I said, sure. And I said, I'll tell you what, Mr. Collins, do you know they calls me a militant? He said, oh, no. Well, but, you know, out of that, now everywhere he goes, he talks about Mrs. Blackwell, you know, and we talked, and he was so glad that I was his first real some kind, he's not too sure, friend, but I'm black. And, you know, one of the things that happened to us also, we found that working in housing, that people's dignity, it's the most beautiful thing to see a man move into a house and he says to you, all of my life, I just wanted something nice. I have 10 kids. And the reason why I had those 10 kids, you'll never know. Because I was very proud of my wife, because every time she had a child, I knew that this time, with this one's going to grow up, and he could go out in the field, or she could go out in the field and help us make our income come up, and we could get something better. And he says, you know, then by the time I got 10 kids, here come the mechanic pickers. Here come the stuff that they pour on to keep the grass from growing. You know, you just can't win. So I think that when we talk about all these things, we have to know what the causes are and the reason why. He loved his kids, but also it was for economic reasons that he, you know, had to have a wife with 10 kids. Made him feel very proud also. Because he didn't have nothing else. So I think that when we talk about all the things that needs to be solved in this world, everything, I think we should really take a look at it and see what can we do to solve all the unanswered questions that nobody raises. You know, somebody screams and says, in Mississippi, first thing you need to curb hunger is birth control. You know, how are you going to get the birth controls in the people? You got to think about that. And you see people moving into homes, and I haven't been right straight down the line, direct, but I'd just like to say this before I finish. My Bible says, and yours do too, fight, watch, and pray. Now, in Mississippi, even us black folks was taught you pray first. I don't know for what, but you pray first. You just, everything come against you, you pray. But if you want to, in Sunday schools and what have you, we're trying to get the people to look at, fight. Fight for the truth. Fight for what you believe in. Fight for what you know is right. And fight to keep open, to try to learn, to try to understand. Watch, not the other fella, but watch yourself. See how you are reacting. See how you are acting. See what you are doing. And pray for the strength to carry it out. Thank you very much.